following is a reading from the John S. Randall Peace Page, and it was posted to his Facebook page on April 29th, 2020. Her language was salty, and she sometimes smoked a pipe. And while her face seemed to have been pleasantly approachable, she described herself as ugly as sin, according to writer Thomas Mallon. Nell was born on April 28, 1926, in the poky little town of Monroeville in southern Alabama. She was the youngest of four children. She was named after one of her grandmothers. Nell is Ellen backwards. Her father, a former teacher, lawyer, and newspaper editor, once defended two black men accused of killing a white storekeeper. Both men were eventually convicted and hanged. Clearly, this family remembrance made an impression on young Nell, according to Time magazine. Her mother, the daughter of a former local postmaster, would read her a story every day, usually a children's classic, while her father read from the four newspapers he got through every evening, she said. One of her best friends growing up was Truman Strekfus Persons, who she met when she was 6 and he was 7. Nell was too rough for the girls, and Truman was scared of the boys. So he just tagged on to her, and she was his protector, a family friend recalled in her biography. When schoolyard bullies ganged up on Truman, who was small for his age, Nell, who was younger, got in fistfights to protect him. Another time, both of the children were at a Halloween party when Klan members came because they heard African-American guests had been invited to the costume party. The Klan members left after Nella's father confronted them, according to the New York Times. Nella's father would give her and Truman a 20-pound Underwood typewriter, which the two children managed to shift back and forth between their houses and use in the composition of collaborative fictions about the neighbors, according to The New Yorker. Nell attended Huntington College, a local Methodist school for women, where she contributed occasional articles to the campus newspaper and two fictional vignettes to the college's literary magazine. Both gave an inkling of themes that would find their way into her novel, Nightmare, describing a lynching, and A Wink at Justice, which told the story of a shrewd judge who makes a Solomonic decision in the case of 8 black men arrested for gambling, according to the New York Times. When she arrived in Manhattan in 1949, she settled into a cold water apartment in the East 80s. After working briefly at a bookstore, she found work as a reservations agent, first for Eastern Airlines and later for the British Overseas Airways Corporation. At night, she wrote on a desk made from a door. The local colony of displaced Southerners regarded her askance. Here was this dumpy girl from Monroeville, one of them recalled years later. We didn't think she was up to much. She said she was writing a book, and that was that. When her first book was finally published, she dropped the name Nell out of fear that readers would pronounce it Nellie, which she hated. Her stark morality tale of a righteous Southern lawyer who stands firm against racism and mob rule struck a chord with Americans, many of them becoming aware of the civil rights movement for the first time, according to the New York Times. Harper Lee's first novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, about racial injustice in a small Alabama town, sold more than 40 million copies and became one of the most beloved and most taught works of fiction ever written by an American. The character of Atticus Finch was based on her father, Amasa Coleman Lee. The name Finch came from her mother, Frances Cunningham Finch. She would later reveal that the character of Tom Robinson was based on the experience of Walter Lett, a black man whose arrest for raping a white woman was reported in the Monroe Journal on November 9, 1933. In the book, Scout's best friend was Dill, who was based on Nell's childhood friend, Truman Capote, who would write his own novel in Cold Blood. which Harper Lee helped research. "I never expected any sort of success with Mockingbird," Ms. Lee told a radio interviewer in 1964. "I was hoping for a quick and merciful death at the hands of the reviewers, but at the same time, I sort of hoped someone would like it well enough to give me encouragement." The novel she wrote, according to historian J. Crespino, is probably the most widely read book dealing with race in America, and its protagonist, Atticus Finch, the most enduring fictional images of racial heroism. When the movie To Kill a Mockingbird was made, Lee was seen on the set crying. Gregory Peck noticed her crying and walked over to her, asking her if she was okay. Lee explained that as she watched Peck as Atticus, he reminded her so much of her late father. She was so touched by his performance and his humanity that she gave him her father's pocket watch. Gregory Peck would eventually win an Academy Award for his performance as Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird. When he accepted his award, he was wearing the pocket watch that Harper Lee had given him. Her father was proud of his youngest daughter's success with To Kill a Mockingbird, and in his final years, often signed copies of his daughter's novel as Atticus Finch. This was a reading from the John S. Randall Peace Page, produced at the KTWH Community Radio Studio in Two Harbors, Minnesota. And I'm thankful to have the permission of John S. Randall. You can find the John S. Randall Peace Page on Facebook. Just look for John, J-O-N, S. Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L. I thank my co-producer, Jackson Leon, and I also thank you, the listener.